Well, you don't need a title, but I know you want a title. God and God alone. No, I'm not going to sing it. Would you go with me, please, to 2 Timothy 2? It's one that I share often because it happens often. For every soldier called to active duty must divorce himself from the distractions of this world that he may fully satisfy the one who chose him. We need to understand that things are going to come, stuff's going to happen, and we need to stay faithful to the one who called us, no matter what's going on. No matter what is going on. May I have that sound? I came back. Why'd I leave? I was called. I heard that sound, and all of a sudden, I realized there was something more important than what God wanted me to do. So I didn't spend time praying in the Holy Ghost to make sure that was correct. I left my post. I left my post. Play it again. Fool, you come back in the same door. Now think of this. You meet someone and you want to talk to them about the goodness of God, and while you're getting ready to say something, all of a sudden, and not only that, but then I sit down and eat. Not something healthy. Well, I had one yesterday, and it was good and healthy. But what happens to the person? How many times are we going to keep leaving from the place where God placed us, from the position God put us in, so we can be a benefit to God's people? He's trusting us with his people. And we allow ourselves to get distracted. We allow ourselves to think that leaving to go do something else is more important than staying, enduring, and doing what God said. We need to understand that, folks, because there are going to be a lot of these. There's going to be a lot of them. What are you going to do when that gong sounds and you hear it? Are you going to divorce yourself? See, there's one time we used to do that. We didn't know any better. Now we know better, and we have to change the way we think and not be moved by it. Now, do you realize people's lives hang in the balance? What does that say to the person that said, I need to talk to you about the Lord, and all of a sudden I hear, and I walk away? What's the person thinking? Am I not important? You came here expecting to hear a godly message. How would you feel if in the middle of the message I hear and I walk out and leave and don't come back in? Go across the street sitting in a restaurant crunching away. How many of you would come back? Those online, if you'd come back, you could say, I would. But nobody here raised their hands. I wouldn't come back either. I wouldn't come back either. We'll sing songs about the goodness of the Lord. We'll talk about how great he is. Well, now we have to follow through on that and do what the great one says. God and God alone. I don't care how many gongs we hear, there is nothing more pressing, nothing more important, and nothing that is more, nothing that's more better than staying and doing what God has you presently doing. We shouldn't even be thinking about what we're going to do with the next assignment. Everything, and my wife, Minister Phyllis, she'll attest to it. Everything I was ever asked to do, when we talk about get up out of our grave, some of you are in a grave of bondage. Everything that I was asked to do, I went about it like I was going to be doing it for the rest of my life. I didn't do. I'll be glad when they move me to another position. As a matter of fact, I got in trouble with some of our young people. They were mad at me because I was the youth director. And when they wanted to do things, I would go and present it. They didn't know I would present it to the pastors. I'd come back and I'd say, no, we're not doing this. I didn't come back and say, the pastor said no. I came back and I said, no, thought about it, talked it over. We're not doing this right now. And they got upset with me. That's okay. I wasn't a pastor. They didn't get upset with our pastors. My job was to be there and take the hits. Something happened once, and Pastor Clinton, I felt that I was hung out to dry. I was like the sacrificial lamb. And if you're my leader or not, if I have an issue, I'm going to tell you about it. I'm not going to walk around with angry feelings. I'm going to talk to you about it. So I was sitting with Pastor Clinton under the overhang on the bench. And I said, Pastor Clinton, and I didn't say daddy, I was like, oh, Jesus. Now, and I told him what my concern was. And he looked at me, he said, Gregory, we knew you could take it. What, you mean this was planned? But he said, we knew you could take it. You know what I said? Okay, nothing else to talk about. Because what I heard was, we have enough confidence in you to know that you can handle anything that comes. And that's what we are counting on. God is counting on us to stay on post. He's counting on it. He's sending the people to a place and he expects you to be at that place. Why? Because you're the one that will reel that person in. That's your fishing spot. Because all of us are fishers of men. So he's going to send you to where they're biting. And we're going to walk away. because we hear I say no. No way I walk away. How about you? You don't want to be like the Tin Man, the Scarecrow, and the Cowardly Lion and hear that sound and start easing on down the road. Stay where you've been planted. A plant that uproots itself and moves out on its own is a monster. You don't believe me? Watch the movie Day of the Triffids. You'll see. Plants stay planted until the gardener decides to replant them. Till the gardener decides. I think the Bible used the term husbandman. That doesn't mean husbands, you decide what your family's going to do. It's not the context we're talking about. Be careful, says so, Proverbs 4:23. I know it says guard your heart, but the New Century Version says be careful what you think. Be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. The reason the Holy Ghost selected that sound to use as his example today is because everybody knows what it is. And everybody knows what the company wants you to do. Wants you to leave relationships. Just think about the things that happened. They left relationships. One person left a pro basketball career. They called his name to be drafted. He's getting up to go on stage. He hears a sound. He walks out. Don't fall victim to the sound. Say, I won't. We have to understand that we decide how we are going to think. We decide. Nobody can make you do anything. Tell that to your neighbor. Tell them nobody can make you do anything. You only do what you want to do. How many people want to get a speeding ticket for doing 30 miles an hour over the speed limit? But now think about how many of us do 30 miles over the speed limit. No, I'm not asking for hands. I don't want to know. Signs posted. Signs are posted. Speed limit. You have a navigation device. It says police reported ahead. And you think they're not going to see you. God's going to hide my car. No, you'll wind up with two, three points on your license and a couple $100 fine. And you know what you're going to say? I rebuke you, devil. No, you decided. Nobody came to the picnic yesterday and shoved cake in my mouth. I decided I wanted to try a slice of cake. You say, well, it's one. It's okay. Well, there were two flavors. One was pineapple. One was... But no one forced it on me. It was shared with me that there was a table that was loaded with cobblers, and I steered clear of that table. I decided. I heard the cobbler gong. I like that. I heard the cobbler gong, but I was strong, so I didn't eat that pie yet. I thank the master. I thank the savior. I thank God. He didn't pick me up. He shut my mouth. Yeah, you're going to remember this message. In John 8, 31 and 33, Jesus said something. Well, everything he said is monumental, but this is really monumental. And he was talking to believers. He said, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if ye continue in my word, we think we just have to hear the word. Jesus didn't say you hear the word and you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. He said, if ye continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. So if you a drive-by Christian, you just pop in, pop out every now and then. You pop in, you hear a big name is coming. I got to hear brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. And then the pastor whom God gave you after his own heart doesn't see you until the next big event. I don't have any ice packs for your toes. I'm sorry. He said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And you need to listen to other messages where we expanded on that, but basically, know also means intimacy. And Jesus was telling them, if you stick with me, we'll become intimate. And it's through intimacy produces. What does it produce? Life. You stay intimate with me, and that intimacy is going to produce truth. And that truth is going to be the basis of your freedom. We need to understand that. And what we think is usually based on our knowledge of the truth. So if that's so, and I believe that it is, we need to make sure that our knowledge base is accurate. Why? Well, 2 Timothy 3. We're going to get to God and God alone. All scripture, how much scripture? Is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for what you believe, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That means we just don't know how to be righteous. We have to be instructed in how to act righteously. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. That the man of God may be perfect. That the man of God may be perfect. Now, we don't like that word perfect. And we say, and they've been teaching, nobody can be perfect. But I beg to differ. The Bible tells me that Christ left me an example and I'm to follow in his steps. He was perfect. The Bible tells me that he was tempted in all ways, just like I am, yet he was without sin. Why? He was perfect. He was perfect. And he's my, if I can't be perfect, he's the wrong example. Then Adam should be my example. Perfect just means fully spiritually mature. And when one is fully spiritually mature, they don't do the dumb stuff. They know better and they act like it. Now, perfect, I went to one of my favorite sources next to the Holy Ghost, and that's Pastor Rick Renner. He said the word perfect is the Greek word teleos. Paul used it 5 times in the New Testament. One of them was in Ephesians 4:13. It describes how a person develops. He or she transitions from being youthful and immature to an individual who is full grown and mature. In addition, it denotes spiritual mature individuals who are living in accordance with the will of God. Now that should be a definition of perfect that everybody can stomach. The Amplified Bible states that we may present every person mature, full grown, fully initiated, complete, and perfect in Christ. Thus, we see that the word perfect that Paul was referring to is to one who is spiritually mature and endeavoring to live out his or her life in accordance to God's perfect will. In accordance to God's perfect will. One of the speakers at the retreat that some of us went to last weekend taught on this. And when we get the teachings, if we could make them all available, we're going to make them available to her because you need to hear this. One thing I'll let you in on before I move on in the notes. She said things that your pastors, Ed and Greg, have been saying to you for at least 3 to 5 years. And I was sitting there saying, it's so good to know I'm not crazy. Because some might say some things and some would come and you'd give me a nice smile going through the line. But your eyes are like, we don't understand. What in the world are you talking about? She said, stop repackaging these faith messages and teach the people who they are in Christ and that they should be living by faith. That should sound familiar. But that's going to require that we think differently about who we are, where we are, whose we are, and what we're going through. That's why the Apostle Paul says in Romans 12:1-2, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves, this is Passion Translation, to God to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit. And here it is, folks, through a total reformation of how you think. Not a partial reformation, a total reformation of what you think. Tomorrow is Independence Day. Okay, what does that mean? We're celebrating a change in the way the founding fathers were thinking about how this country should be operating. It's a change in thinking, because they're thinking, we don't want to live by the ideals and opinions of Great Britain anymore. We want to divorce ourselves from that. We want to worship the God we want to worship. They had to come together and change the way they were thinking about how this country was being governed. And they said, we're not doing this anymore. And they were willing to put their lives on the line because they so believed that that change was necessary, that they would rather die than stay caught up in the ideals and opinions of the culture that was around them. Where is that type of tenacity today? We are so quick, people just like, just like that, we hear things and go running off course. We hear things. I'm called to preach the gospel. Well, there's racial equality. Oh, let me go. I got to go take part in this demonstration. No, your backside belongs over here preaching the gospel. Why? Because God knew and knows that you're going to hear, and he wants the people to learn how to ignore it and stay put and not be affected when they hear some things, so that they can stay on target with what God wants for them. That's what he expects us to be doing, not running off because we hear something that tickles our ears. Or I feel very strong about this. Okay, that's fine. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. How strongly do you feel about that? That's the real question. So they came up with this declaration because they were not going to be in bondage anymore. And they declared that they had certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They said when a long train of abuses and usurped, big word, pursuing invariably the same object, a design to reduce them under absolute despotism is their right. It's our right to be free. It's our right to be independent. As a child of the Most High God, it's your right to be independent of the wiles of the devil. It is not your right to be independent of God. And the only way we experience independence from the wiles of the devil is to be totally dependent on God. It's not just one way, it's the only way. Total dependence on God. That's what it's going to require. I'm not going to go through this. You can read the Declaration of Independence. But one thing I am going to read is our Declaration of Dependence, because we need to know what that means. The colonists wanted independence, and their belief was they'd be better all around if they were independent of the standards, the rules, the opinions, the culture of Great Britain. So as I said before, they were willing to die than to yield to those ideals and opinions of that culture that they used to be a part of. So they had a total reformation of how they thought, and it was empowering for them. And this ragtag group of people beat the massive, highly trained army of Great Britain. I look at those movies and things up, and I find it funny. You're in battle. You line up wearing red jackets. You were a good walking target. And again, changing the way you think. They figured because they were fighting former countrymen that they would follow their rules for war, which means I fire at you, so that means everybody on the front line is going to get killed. So when you place in position and you're up front, you're like, you always want to be first. Why don't you come up here? And they march in a straight line. Ready, aim, fire. Foots fall down. And then those that survived would run around to the second row. The second row would step forward. They would take 15 minutes to reload. And the colonists said, we're not thinking like that anymore. We're going to hide behind trees. Change the way they thought. If they didn't change the way they thought, this flag wouldn't be waved over the White House. It would have been the Union Jack. Because we'd have been jacked up. So if we're going to ignore the gong, what we have to do is realize that God is all we need. First, we need to think it. Then we need to declare it. We need to stop thinking about natural solutions. Because as we read, your thoughts will control your life. So if you're thinking natural, you're going to act natural. We're spirit beings. The Bible tells us so. We are spirit beings. So God gives you several years ago this document where he took the Declaration of Independence and rewrote it for the church. And so I'm going to read it to you. Then I'll probably unhook. It says, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for the children of God to understand that they have no connection to the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things, and to walk with delegated authority as the power of God on the earth, because of the equal position they have with God to which the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus affords them. In spite of worldly opinions, being a new creature in Christ requires God's children to declare the truth which freed them from the powers of darkness and brought them to the liberty they now have as a child of the Most High God. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created in God's image and after his likeness and are blessed by God to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. All men who seek first his kingdom, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, are thereby endowed with specific unalienable rights that among these are salvation, freedom from the curse of the law, and the pursuit of God's perfect will for their lives. To secure these rights, one must confess and believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was born of a virgin, crucified on the cross, buried, went to hell, on the third day rose from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of God. That selfless act of love made available a better covenant with God, established on better promises. As God's children, we understand that we walk by faith and not by sight, giving thanks to God who always gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. So whenever any form of government stands in opposition to God and his mandate to his children, it is the right of the children of God to alter or abolish it through individual and corporate prayer for all in authority, so that we will live honestly and peaceably before God, because they know the effective fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Such prayer will break the stronghold of the powers of darkness, bringing about a new government based on a new commandment to love. Loving others the same way Christ loved us creates a new foundation on the principles of love and forgiveness. But when sin abounds and the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, we will rest knowing that we dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. We abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And because Jesus came to destroy the works of the adversary, we have life more abundantly. It is our right and our duty to remain steadfast, immovable, casting all our care on the Lord. The history, hear this part closely, the history of the prince of this world is irrelevant. The history of the prince of this world is irrelevant. It does not matter how long he's kept this world in bondage. The very simple truth is this: Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. To prove this, let these biblical truths be submitted to a candid world. John 3:16, I'm going to go through these quickly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Luke 1:37, for with God, is the Amplified Bible, for with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Luke 10:17-20, the Living Bible. When the 70 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan falling from heaven as a flash of lightning, and I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and to walk among serpents and scorpions and to crush them. Nothing shall injure you. However, the important thing is not that demons obey you, but that your names are registered as citizens of heaven. Galatians 3:13 in the Phillips. Now Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law's condemnation by himself becoming a curse for us when he was crucified. For the scripture is plain, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. God's purpose is therefore plain, that the blessings promised to Abraham might reach the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, and the Spirit might become available to us by faith. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Isaiah 9. Why do we have all of this? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And we, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord shall perform this. Therefore, we, the children of God, also known as the church, founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, declare that we trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, we acknowledge him and we allow him to direct our path. We're not wise in our own eyes. We reverence the Lord and depart from evil. It provides health to our navel and marrow to thy bones. We will honor the Lord with our substance. Stop right there for a minute. That's not just talking about finances. When you honor the Lord with your substance, you are honoring the Lord with everything that makes you you. Every fiber of your being honors the Lord. Every fiber. Why? Because if every fiber doesn't, one fiber is going to listen to that gong. We will honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all our increase. Our barns will be filled with plenty, and our presses shall burst out with new wine. In him we live and move and have our being. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. God will supply, God will deliver, God will protect. We further declare this day that without God, we can do nothing, but with God, all things are possible. We will continually offer our prayers, praise, and worship to God individually and corporately, giving honor to God, who is the supreme judge of the world, for giving us the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it is our intent, by the grace of God, to do so in the name of Jesus and by the authority he gave us. Being born again and in a state of total dependence on God has absolved us from all allegiance to the devil and has caused our lives to be hid with Christ in God. We will wholeheartedly publish and declare that God's grace is sufficient for us and that we are and ought to always be in a state of total dependence on God and God alone. In that dependent state, we have full power to preach the word in season and out of season, heal the sick, raise the dead, blessing those that curse us and praying for those who despitefully use us. We conclude that being totally dependent on God gives us the peace that passes all understanding, a love that will promote unity of the body of Christ at large, and the wisdom to establish commerce and to do other acts and things which those totally dependent on God have a right to do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of God, we mutually pledge to have the same care one for another as the Bible instructs us. We firmly believe that it's our sacred honor to live our lives in total dependence on God. God said it. That settles it. We believe it. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Now think about that, then act accordingly. Doesn't do a thing for me. Why? I am totally dependent on God. If it's for me, he'll tell me where to go to receive it. Otherwise, there'll be bells going off all around you. You hear it, you'll go in this direction. You'll hear another one say, oh, it's all over here. Oh no, it's gone. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's why we need to have a declaration of dependence so we can have the stability that being dependent on God affords us. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. This truly is the day that you've made, and we're rejoicing and we're glad in it. Thank you for sharing with us this morning. Thank you from praise, the beginning of praise, from the pre-service prayer through the end of the message and on over into receiving communion. Your presence has been here with us. And we desire to always be in your presence. Always. We thank you that by your Spirit, you'll give revelation to all those who hear this message that you taught today. And all will understand. They're not to run around after traditions and ideals of this culture. No matter how interesting they seem or how real they seem or how accurate they are. The real truth for us, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And in spite of what's going on all around us, we are to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. But Apostle Paul said it, there needs to be an inward change by a total reformation of how we think. Our job is to give the world, allow the world to get that inward change so they can have a total reformation of how they think. And when that happens, they will receive Christ as their Savior. Thank you, Lord, for making it so clear to us, so clear that you have confidence that we can do the job. You gave us all the ammunition we need when you said, if we lack wisdom, just ask you and you'll provide it liberally. When you said that you'll supply all our need. So whatever we need, you supply. So we are without excuse. There's no reason that we can fail or should fail to do the work you've called us to do. There's no reason for us to move out of our position, to leave our post for any reason, unless we have been properly relieved. We thank you for this understanding. We thank you for this change in our thinking, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Happy Independence on God Day. But the great news about it is that doesn't just happen on July 4th. Just like this country experiences its independence every day, we need to experience our dependence every day. Every day, dependent on God. Now, to do that, you have to accept the truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody gets to the Father without going through him. Nobody. Nobody. So if there's anyone in here and you've never received Christ, would you raise your hand where you are? Those online, I can't see your hand raised, but you can just text me if you're on Facebook. And they'll wave and let me know that we have you out there online. But just in case there's someone out there, maybe you watch, maybe you don't know how to say me, to type in me, make a comment. It took me a while to learn how to do that. So we'll all make the same confession. Father God, I believe Jesus Christ is your son. I believe he went to the cross and died for the sins of mankind. I believe he was buried and went to hell. And after spending 3 days in hell, I believe you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I turn to you. I'm changing the way I think about you. I believe you are everything the Bible says you are. And that means you are everything to me. So I ask you to come into my heart. I'm surrendering myself to you. I've turned from my past ways and I've turned to you and I'm asking you, make something new of me. Well, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved. That declaration of dependence belongs to you. You get to operate in everything that's in it. And not only that, this declaration of dependence called the Bible is now yours. Everything that's in it is now yours. Everything between the pages is now yours and can never be taken away from you by anything or anybody. So what's the next step? Well, we have some free information that we'd like to get to you. So just follow the contact us information. And contact us. And we will send you, as I said, free information. And with that, if you have a question or a comment about what we shared this morning or what being in Christ, whatever it is, use the same contact information and contact me. I have a question for Pastor Carr. I have a question for Pastor Greg. I have a question for that tall black guy that was ministering, however it is. And I promise you, I will personally respond. Probably won't be the same day it comes in, but I will get back to you. You have my word on that. Amen? Everybody say, Jesus is Lord.